Good day, friends. Again, we come to you. And I sincerely hope that you are reading the Epistle of John through. Read it over and over and over again. That's what I do. In some way, it gets a hold of your heart. The more you read it, the more it gets into you. And the Spirit of God has come to make known to your own heart as well as your mind the precious things concerning Christ. We're dealing with the fact that we're in fellowship with God, who is righteous. And we're dealing with especially the first three verses of chapter 3. The encouragement that God gives to us to have fellowship with Him. And this encouragement is based upon His love. Let me read those three verses again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And the Revised Text says, and we are. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every one that hath this hope set on Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Now, this is the encouragement. Now, in verse 29 of the last chapter, he said, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him, because God is righteous. Now, again, I want to repeat it. He's not dealing here so much with relationship. He's encouraging us to live righteously because we are not only the objects of His love, but because we are His children. And in our last lesson, we were spending quite a bit of time on this matter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and we are. We were discussing the question that the believers are the objects of His love. In John 3:16, we have the measure of His love for men and women. He gave His Son, and brother, that's measureless. We can't measure the love of God. But here you have the manner of His love, how it's displayed to those who accept Him. To His own begotten children, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. An imparted love? Yes. In John's Gospel we had imparted life. Here we have imparted love bestowed upon every believer. And I repeat, it's not to angels, but to redeem sinners, to those who've accepted the Savior. He just showers His love upon us. In fact, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us, as we find in Romans 5:5. And our relationship springs from such a love. But I tell you again, and I can't get over the fact, we're the children of one who is God. Not only a position before God, but a definite relationship. God is my Father. If you are a child of God, God is your Father. What an honor. What a privilege. What nobility. Even angels can't say this. If they are in the family of God, they're in by creation. We were born into His family. To as many as received Him, to them He gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. And He goes on to say, and we are. Now, you notice the rest of the verse. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. You see, the world never knew or understood the Savior. Let's get this thing very clear. To the world He was a nobody. He never sought wealth. He never sought fame. He never sought power. All He wanted to do was the will of His Father. So the world disowned Him, crucified Him, cast Him out. Shall we suffer less? I repeat it, shall we suffer less? You remember in 1 Corinthians 2:8, where Paul wrote, for had they known it, the princes of this world would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In the book of Acts chapter 3, Peter said to the Jewish people, I wot not that you did it ignorantly. What? You crucified the Lord of glory. You ever think of it? You see, ignorance of God is the ground for rebellion against God. You take John's Gospel, chapter 15, starting about verse 18, and running right on down into, chapter 16, verses 3 and 4 and there, where Jesus said that the world would oppose him. The world had no place for him. Why? Because they know not the Father nor me. They hated him, in the same passage, they hated him without a cause. In chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, the time is coming when he that killeth you will think he doeth God service. Why? Because they know not the Father nor me. Ignorance of God is the ground for the rebellion against God. I repeat it, my friend, the world wants to get along without God, and the world wants to get along without his people. To the people of his day, our Lord was a fanatic. He even claimed to be the Son of God. They hated him without a cause. He was righteous in everything he did. He had only one passion, to do the will of his Father. Submission to the will of his Father. Today, when a Christian, when a child of God yields themselves to the Lord to do the will of God in his life, oftentimes he's looked upon as somebody who's a fanatic, a religious fanatic. My friend, was Jesus Christ a religious fanatic? When I tell you the very passion of his heart was the will of his Father. That's why he could say in John chapter 4, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. In John 8:29, I do always, always the things that please him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he could cry in agony, not my will, but thine be done. In John 18, he could say, shall I not drink the cup my Father hath given me to drink? Or in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. And yet I must tell you, and I talk to those of you who love the Savior, the greatest, most wonderful thing that would ever happen in your life, in my life, would be perfect, complete submission to the will of our Father. This is what he wants. To me, it's an amazing thing. He still loves us. He still loves us. As John 13:1 said, having known his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. But the world doesn't love them. The world would rather you shut up. The world would rather you not show yourself. When Christians walk before God, their lives become a hindrance, a rebuke to the man of the world. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Oh, that this might get a hold of your heart and my heart. Don't be afraid, my friend, as Paul writing to Timothy said, God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Don't be ashamed of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. And in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, when he said, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. From what? From the world. And you remember, the world is in direct opposition to our Father. I want to say very sadly, there are too many Christians who are ordering their lives according to present-day society, which is loose and permissive, where sin is no longer sin. My friend, as a child of God, God wants me to live in the world as his child. Do you remember that verse in Philippians chapter 2 about verses 13 or 14 in there, where Paul says, "You are the sons of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights, holding forth the word of life." You see, the Lord left us down here to shine. To shine. To hold forth the word of life. Otherwise, how are they going to know about our Savior? Except through you and through me. It would be a wonderful thing if the Lord had taken us home the moment we were saved. But he didn't. He left us down here to shine. Left us down here to witness with our lives as well as our tongues. And because we walk before him, because we are the object of the Father's love, because we are now the children of God, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. It never knew him. The world never understood Jesus. The world doesn't understand him today. They make him a good teacher. They make him a prophet. They make him anything and everything except what he claimed to be. And I'm amazed when theologians will declare that Jesus never claimed to be God. My friend, he could say, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Well, you're not yet 40 years of age, and have you seen Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am. If you go back through Isaiah, three times in Isaiah, God says, "I am the first and the last, and that besides me there is no God." And yet when I come to Revelation chapter 1, "I am the first, I am the last, I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the authority of death and of hell." Talking about our Savior. I don't understand all concerning the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. But I know one thing. I know one thing for sure. That Jesus took his place in the human race just because he loved you, because he loved me. And the more I walk with him, the more I'm in subjection to his will and to his purpose, my friend, the more the world doesn't want us. There's a big barrier between us and the world. And that barrier is the cross of Christ. As Galatians 6:14 says, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world." Now notice the encouragement in verse 2. Again he comes back to this question of relationship. He repeats it. He wants it to get right down into your heart and mind, into your life. "Beloved, now are we the children of God." Let me just stop a minute. It may be those of you, I'm using the King James Version, maybe most of you are, or the American Standard, or the American Revised, whatever it may be. The word children there, King James Version said sons. May I just say this? John, in his writings, never calls us sons. Whenever you find that we are called the sons of God, like in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 3, where he uses the word sons, the word there, technia, which means children. You see, Paul talks about us being the sons of God. That's a question of standing. That's a question of position. John is not dealing with that. Paul does that. Paul talks about the wonderful things we have in Christ. But John is talking about life through relationship with a Savior. You see, John is dealing with relationship, both in the Gospel and in the Epistle. In the Gospel through John, we have eternal life through relationship with the Savior. In the Epistles of John, we have intimate fellowship with God because of relationship. We are the children of God. One, you receive life, the other one, how to enjoy life. And spiritual life is only enjoyed as you walk in fellowship with him. I want to make this thing clear to you if I can. I'm trying to be simple, but I want this to be very clear in your mind. If you have taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a child of the living God. And that's why the world doesn't want you. That's why the world has no place for you. And if you try to make the world like you, and you start to live like the man of the world, if you're a real believer, the Spirit of God will deal with you. Because he that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. Now, as we live that sort of a life, we're evidencing the fact that we are the children of God. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Abba, Father. Verse 2, Beloved, now are we the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is our future experience. We're going to be just like him. You know, this is an amazing thing. But you say he's righteous. That's right. He's eternal. That's right. And that's what we are. We know. Confidence. We know that when we see him, we should be like him. I like those verses that Paul speaks of, you remember, in 2 Timothy 1:12. We know, or make it in the personal sense, that I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Why do you take this first epistle of John? You take in chapter 5, for example, verse 15. We know. This is knowledge. We know. Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. In verse 19. We know that we are of God. Verse 20. We know that the Son of God is come. And hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Or you take Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, I love this assurance. See, I know whom I have believed. Not to know about him, to really know him, to know by experience that we have eternal life. And my friend, you can know it. I have met so many Christians who are fearful. I've even had them write to me and tell me they're afraid to come in the presence of God. They're afraid to die. My friend, if you've really trusted the Savior, you needn't have any fear. Death is already conquered. Death becomes the open door into his presence. You see, the reason why you have fear is because you're looking at yourself and your failures instead of looking at him. You don't save yourself. It's not Christ plus you. Christ is a perfect Savior. He's the only Savior. He's an eternal Savior. Don't you love it? Huh? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall in no wise under any consideration perish. Neither can anyone plunder them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one is able to plunder them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I'm quoting John chapter 10, 28 to 30. Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Again I say, we'll never have any closer relationship to God than that one. Hence we're in a noble family. What an honor. What a place. What a relationship. Children of one who is God. Now the rest of the verse tells us what we're going to be. Now we have the encouragement for fellowship, our present relationship with children. The world doesn't know us. What's the future hold for us? Listen to it. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Do you believe that? Future experience. We'll be just like him. What a prospect. You know, I think it's what Paul means in Romans chapter 13:11, when he said, it's high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. It's high time to throw off the works of darkness and so on. What's that? I thought we were saved. We are. And we are yet to be saved. As Paul gets in Romans chapter 8, 23, 24, you remember? All creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, and so are we waiting. We too wait. What for? The redemption of the body. Marvelous thing. Romans 8:29 says, God has determined that we shall be conformed to the image of his Son. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit which dwelleth in you. In Philippians chapter 3, 20 to 21, what does it say? Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these bodies and fashion them like unto his body of glory. Oh, what a prospect. You know, I think David had a little insight somewhat to some of this when he said in the 23rd Psalm, goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, I say again, what a prospect. When we see him, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And his dear brother Bog of Team used to say to our students, young people, don't criticize God's people until God gets through with them. When God gets through with you and with me, we will stand in his presence and be like Jesus. I repeat it, what a prospect, what a hope. No wonder John could say in Revelation 22, when Jesus said, surely I come quickly, and John quickly responded, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. May you and I live today in anticipation of seeing him whom having not seen, we love. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.